Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. Ooh. The most racially diverse cast on a podcast.
That's just so
this
untrue.
This side of Marble Hill.
Well, that...
prove me wrong, guys. Prove me wrong.
This side of the Mississippi, but before you get to King's Highway.
Specifically centralized in this area of Cape.
For everyone not in Cape, that's not real far.
It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man, although we should really relabel the show at this point. Because Allie's been tagging along for however many
the
months
beginning.
Now. Yeah. And now, Jesse, this is your third appearance on the show.
In a row.
Yeah.
And I'm just damn happy to have you.
I appreciate it.
You know, I realize that you only get to do two shows per week.
That's true.
You do Nerd Up and you do the Thursday show.
Right.
Generally. I mean, some Thursday is the weird show where any of us could miss. Like, there have been times I've been off, there's times you've been off, Lindsay's been off. You know, Thursday really is just a random, it's a hodgepodge. Of characters.
The general cast is me, you, Lindsay, and an extra.
Right, which is supposed to be Tanner.
Right.
Tanner, oh god, am I gonna get in trouble? I'm probably gonna get in trouble. Tanner.
You're always gonna get in trouble.
Tanner recently said that he was crying over this baby that he's gonna have because he could feel it in the womb kicking.
Yeah, it's a huge moment for a parent.
Yeah.
Some people have emotions, Shannon. We don't just bury it in Harambe memes and
congratulations
and
Tanner.
Pepsi.
That's where I was going with it. I got also get me.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were because you prefaced it with
you were going to get
I'm going to get in trouble.
I heard a joke once years ago on HBO, which is clean.
Well,
it was a comedian. I don't remember her name, but she was talking about her best friend was going to have a baby. And she was pregnant, and she was like, that's all she talked about. And one night, the comedian is having sex with her boyfriend, and the woman calls and says, I can feel this other person inside of me. It's so great. And she says, so can I, and hangs up on her.
I think it's an Amy Schumer. It's either an Amy Schumer or maybe a Chelsea Peretti bit where they're at the time in their lives where whenever one of their friends comes to them and says, I'm pregnant, they don't know whether to respond with congratulations or, oh, I'm so sorry.
Did not know Chelsea Peretti was actually married to Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
I also did not know
that.
Because
I saw him in that.
Actually, I don't think I knew that they were married, but I knew they were together.
I didn't know they were married. I didn't know they were together.
That's a funny household.
Well, there's that commercial for like booking.com or whatever that they're in.
I don't know.
Where they're trying to like plan for their honeymoon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
I thought it was just a bit. I thought it was a bit.
They just cast two funny people.
But no, they're actually like married now. Yeah. So that's awesome. Because I love both of them.
Apparently he's in a movie that I've been trying to find, and I hope it comes to Netflix like immediately, but Mike Birbiglia did another movie, directed another movie, which now I can't even remember the name of it, but it
Keanu?
Has a... Do what?
No.
Oh.
No, we saw Keanu.
No, but it does have Jordan Peele and Gillian Jacobs and a bunch of funny people. It's about like a improv group that goes through stuff, and it looks really good. Hmm. Also, Mike Birbiglia's other movie, Sleepwalk With Me, was really good.
Never saw that.
I'm a real big fan of his stand-up, and he's actually a really good director, too.
We watched one of the funniest movies ever made today here in the store, because it was on randomly, Airplane.
Yes.
That's a fantastic movie.
It's one of my favorite. She's never seen it, I'm pretty sure.
I've seen part of it.
She saw the last half of it. That is such a funny movie, and it makes you sad for what parody films have become.
Yeah.
The now that it's just scary movie, epic movie, date movie.
I mean, that particular brand
superhero
of parody movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flat out parodies. Like, you know, the Airplane, the over the top silliness, the Zucker.
The slapstick.
Well, yeah. Somehow it's almost like a toned down version of what they're doing now. Cause it is completely over the top and ridiculous, but it's also, maybe it benefits because it is only really parodying a single movie.
Those movies weren't even, that's an unfair comparison, actually, now that I think about it. Cause those movies weren't even parodies of other films.
Mm-hmm.
They were just themselves, like a parody of itself.
They were kind of a parody of the genre still.
Yeah. Like, cause it was like, oh,
Airplane
here's all
was
the
an airplane movie.
Here's the tropes that they played into, but we're gonna do it funny. I don't know.
Cause they did it funny.
They
and
did.
Leslie Nielsen was a big part of that.
And same with, cause, Naked Gun.
Yes.
Was kind of the parody of like the spy action movies at the time,
Cops.
Cop movie.
Yeah.
Naked Gun was Spy Hard, I think.
Which also starred Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Leslie Nielsen was just a national treasure.
He was.
Yes.
One of the funniest men. And the best part about Airplane is his deadpan delivery of all of his lines.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the best part of his delivery in everything he's ever been in.
Yeah, because he's so serious. Like, mm-hmm. Frank Drebin in the Naked Gun series. Just hilarious. And anyone else would have broken. Imagine if Jimmy Fallon played Frank Drebin.
Oh, God.
In the Naked Gun reboot coming out soon. Cody, I put it in the ether. It's in the universe now. It's going to happen.
Starring Cody, Jimmy Fallon.
Cody Sandusky is spinning in his grave right now.
Wait, what?
Huh?
What?
What'd you do to Kodu?
I didn't do anything to him. I'm pretty sure Dalton's going to do something to him.
I don't even remember where that came from.
It was a typo.
Yeah.
Well, I know it was a typo, but I don't. Was it Cody that did it?
No, I did it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm the king of typos. Like, every time I type something into my phone, it just comes out as the weirdest.
You turned off autocorrect, didn't you?
No. And sometimes autocorrect will take the correct spelling and purposely misspell it. I swear to God it does.
It depends. It goes by what you type the most often.
It changes a lot of words to the F word.
It does that for me too.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that my S7 actually lets me cuss.
Yeah.
Like, cause the S3 or 4, whatever it was that I had, it did not. Like, it just would not. No, that's not a word. You meant shot. You meant duck. It's like, No, I didn't. I'm a grown up. I have a college degree. I can say bad words.
Just not on this show.
No.
There was actually, I think my Galaxy S5 had a profanity filter on it. Like, for the autocorrect. Like, you could enable the autocorrect to allow profanity. And if you didn't, then it would just keep.
I didn't try it. I didn't go that far into it. I just backspace.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if it existed before the S5, but because that was the first Galaxy phone I ever had was the S5. So, yeah, and I just looked through it because I was like, please. I was going to add all the swear words to the dictionary, like manually, because I was getting tired of it.
Trying to think of any swear word you can. All right.
What else am I going
to? What's the variations?
I was legitimately about, because I had to do that for my HTC One X. Like, I had to go into the library and manually add all of the swear words that I knew.
That had to be a fun mission.
It was not.
I was expecting more out of that.
Well, part of me was like, I hope they just like on everyone else's phone, like so the message you send, it does the Blizzard Overwatch thing. It's just like, I really kittens hate that. Just like, it's just some random word.
The time I finally send Lonnie like that message, just flat out cursing him out and saying I quit, it translates it to my mommy doesn't want me staying up late. I feel really, really small right now. Please hold me.
He calls you and he's just like, are you okay? What? I got this really weird message.
Kind of off topic, but that reminds me of a story. You guys want to hear a story?
Go for it.
I like story time.
When I was dating Vina in college, I decided to break up with her because I like to break up with people. It happens a lot. I don't know why. I'm addicted to running away, you know? So I was going to run away from
afraid
this girl.
Of commitment.
Not so much of a commitment. I love commitment. I'm afraid of.
He loves commitment. He loves starting the commitment and just like getting deep down into it and then bolting.
If I could go to jail, that's the best commitment. I could just work out all day.
Anyway. Rack up that giant, colossal bill.
For prison?
Yeah.
Not that they pay you.
No.
No.
You have to pay to be in prison?
Yeah. They send you a bill when you get out. It's a big one, too.
Does Doctors Express own it? Because they sent me a bill for no reason.
Yeah, no, they straight up, like, you can work off some of the bill, like, while you're in prison. Like, you can do labor and stuff like that that will take off of what they're going to send you when you get out.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they charge you room and board. They charge you food. They charge you everything.
Especially if you go to like a for-profit prison, like a not state-run.
Oh, yeah.
Then it's...
Did you hear they're actually getting rid of those? They just passed a bill.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm so privatized excited about prisons. That.
I thought that...
There's going to be so many judges that won't know what to do.
I knew that they paid you while you were in prison because I assumed that was to save up for when you got out. You wouldn't just get kicked out on the streets with nothing.
No, which is actually what it was supposed to be originally. That was the plan. Like, oh, hey, maybe a lot of these people are reverting to past behaviors because they don't have any other option.
Or maybe they're going back to behaviors because our system does nothing to help people.
So, well, at least we can't rehabilitate them. Rehabilitate him. Oh my.
Rehabitate.
Well,
rehabitate.
It only took about 10 minutes for me to just go.
You want
to
give Harambe a new home? Let me just full circle on that real quick, because there's someone out there at least going, when is he getting to the fireworks factory? just finish that story real quick. When I was going to break up with her, I broke up with her through email.
Oh, Shannon,
no. I was in college. I was in college and I was mad. Like, I was super angry, and I didn't want to wait, because she lived in Anna, and I lived in Mount City. So I didn't want to wait to break up with her. I was mad then. So I tried calling her, couldn't get a hold of her. So I was like, all right, I'll send her an email. So I sent her this long email explaining why we had to break up and all that, and sent it, went on with the rest of my day. Went to the Get Chinese in Cairo with Bob and two people we should never have taken to Get Chinese in Cairo, because they were really obnoxious, and they embarrassed me in front of my Chinese friends. Vina calls me on the way and was like, hey, do you want to go to a dance tomorrow? And I kind of said, have you checked your email today? No. Do me a favor. Don't read that message. Just delete it. Do not read it. Just trust me. Delete the message I sent you. I don't want you to read it. And she said, okay. And then we dated for a couple more months after that. And I know she read it. I know she read it. There's no way you tell someone, don't read that thing I sent you, and they don't read it.
And they just don't read it.
So it's a possibility.
Vina, if you're listening to this, and I know there's a chance you are, did you read that letter? Did you know this story? Are you finding this out for the first time?
If you did, email Shannon at
Mr. 100 at Podzilla1985.com will go to Shannon's inbox.
It's true. Everybody can email me. What are you doing right now?
What are you thinking?
What are you thinking? So let's we're off topic.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to finish to the whole, like...
Prison scandal?
Prison thing.
That's a whole thing I could...
That could be a whole show.
But I just want to finish with the most messed up part about it. They don't have to pay you minimum wage.
No.
A lot of those laborers, they literally make, like a quarter an hour.
Yeah.
Lonnie should have shut this store down and opened up... He missed the boat on prison.
He heard that and he's just like, wait, what?
I can have labor force for... Yeah, no, like they can pay you as little as they want. They just have to give you something.
Yeah.
So, like, there's some jobs that, like, yeah, like Asa said, there, and some prisons will pay you more than others. But yeah, they don't have to pay you, like, anything.
See, I'm very torn on this, because when I think of prisons, my first thought are of the worst inmates, like people that do terrible things to other people, that rape and murder and do stuff like that. And
that's less than, like, half the population.
And the vengeful part of me wants them to, you know, suffer. The vengeful part of me wants them to suffer. I don't want them to make money. I don't want them to have any kind of life. I want them to suffer and die. That's what I want them to do. But then, like you said, that's a minor portion of who's in jail legitimately.
Yeah, more than half of the people are in there for, like, minor drug offenses.
Or just minor infractions in general. Yeah. And those people should not be treated like animals. I mean, no human should be treated like an animal.
Yeah, and they get out of prison. They're in debt to the prison system. And on top of that, nobody will hire them because they have a record.
And whenever they're in prison, the chances of being put into solitary confinement is a lot higher than you would think. And they're not just put in there for, like, a day. They get put in there for a week, and it gets extended to months and sometimes years.
There was a great Law & Order episode, SVU, about solitary confinement, where one of the officers, Christopher Maloney, what character did he play? Feel awful forgetting his name. He was Elliot Stabler, where he puts himself in confinement, solitary confinement, because he's trying to figure something out or experience what this guy experienced when he went crazy. And after 3 days, he thought it had been 2 weeks, and you have no concept of time. It was awful.
Because there's no light, there's nothing.
Yeah. Going crazy. They see damages starting after, I think, like 7 hours.
See, me
like,
personally.
It does not take long for solitary confinement to mess someone up.
Also, solitary confinement not just uses punishment. Like, if you are in danger, like, if you're a
They put you in there, yeah.
The protective custody is solitary confinement. It's not like there's a separate general population that is of, oh, someone could, you know, I'm going to testify against someone or... You know, whatever
rat
reason.
Rat somebody out. Yeah. Protect somebody. There was a video I saw today on LiveLeak of a good video. A guard opened up a door for an inmate. Inmate immediately attacked him. And there's another inmate sitting on a bench. He gets up and grabs the other inmate and just slams him to the ground and holds him down while the cop cuffs him. So what's going to happen to that inmate?
Yeah.
Probably solitary confinement, because now the rest of those inmates are going to be like, you helped a guard against us.
It's a very, you know, faction driven society, when then all it's, but it's still a very much a us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
I saw a story on CNN that said I think 5,000 inmates, 20 guards in a prison across overseas, I think in like China, Hong Kong. 4,000 inmates, 20 guards to guard all of them.
The
ratio is off, Jesse.
The ratio is way off.
I saw something about other prisons, and it was basically a school. They sent them to prison where they would learn things. They would learn skills to get help them get jobs. They would learn all of these things, and the likelihood, the rate of people returning to prison was so much lower than it is here.
It's almost like rehabilitation is better than just blanket incarceration. Who'd have thunk it?
So we're going to get to the actual topic.
I don't know. This is, I mean, if we could do a split show, this is kind of interesting to me.
I will say, like I told both of you, like the designated topic, I don't know how much I really have to contribute because it's just a...
I told her before the show that you said you really didn't care.
Yeah, like the prison system, because I was a criminal justice major. Like this is something that
I have a lot of friends in prison.
I'm very much interested. I'm very much interested in and care about. It also, I'm also salty and bitter because they won't hire me.
You can find true love there
because the oh no!
If Billy Torres, NSA agent, I know you are. Hook me up, man.
Yeah, no, that's because. Asa, the position that Asa wants in the prison system is a very necessary and needed position.
Oh, it's not the prison system. It's the criminal justice system. Because I definitely don't
want to. What did you want
to
be?
I originally wanted to do probation or parole. Because I very much like the idea of having someone who is there for these offenders who get out and can help them. Okay, here's, you know, job placements and classes and stuff like that. Because that's a very important part of the rehabilitation process. Mm-hmm.
That should be there,
but
in prison.
What the problem is, the class that I took about, or one of the classes I took about it mentioned that to be truly effective, a probation officer can handle roughly 7 clients at a time to be able to give them their full attention, do all that. The average Missouri probation officer has something like 18 to 20.
Ooh.
Because it's so just criminally underfunded, no pun intended. Because it's just like, oh, well, it doesn't work, so why would we give money to it? Not really thinking about, oh, maybe it doesn't work because all of the, they're all overstretched and undermanned. And,
it's the same thing with public defenders.
Yeah.
Like the lawyers that are assigned, you end up with, like, one lawyer will get upwards of 50 cases at a time, and most of them are going to be just cases of,
we're just going to try to settle. Because that's easier.
Cop a plea. Yeah. I originally wanted to be a lawyer. Like, that's what I always wanted to be when I was younger. I wanted to be a lawyer. But, I mean, law school is ridiculously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And if you ever move.
I mean, school in general is really expensive.
Not if you go to a community college.
That's true.
Right, Allie?
Oh, that glare. I really wish that you could probably hear it.
Asa, why did you want to do that?
I have very much moved away from like even researching job openings at this point because I'm very much disenfranchised with just the human population in general. Because it was that naive, like, you know, bright eyed, bushy tailed, like, I can actually help people.
So you wanted to help?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because it's like, I understood that, yeah, you're going to get the people who just hate their PO. They don't care. They don't want to try. But I figured, well, if I could deal with that for the ones that actually didn't want to end up back in prison. Well, they don't want to fall back into their same patterns and habits. So, I would want to be able to help those kind of people because especially like the war on drug thing we brought up earlier, like these minor first time offenses ruining their lives for a little bit of weed. That's stupid and ridiculous. And I would like to be able to try to.
I mandatory think, minimum sentencing.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I think people assume that weed use, you know, they say it's a gateway drug. And there are there are lots of cases where you can see that happening. Like my friend Jeff that I often speak about here on the show, who is in prison, like in a not funny way, he's been in and out of prison nonstop. And he has been given every opportunity in life to turn it around. And he has chosen not to take that opportunity every time. Every time he gets out, he has a family that will support him. He has kids. But the first thing he does is goes back to selling drugs, goes back to doing drugs, and goes back to robbing places. 3-4 times. Now he's in there for however long. I don't even know what his sentence is at this point. But it started with marijuana. I remember the first joint he smoked. And from marijuana, it turned into cocaine. He did some meth. He sold this. He did that. Do I blame marijuana for it? No. It's not marijuana's fault.
It's a deeper emotional issue.
It is. Like it's a psychological issue.
Yeah.
But there are people that will say that that's what it is.
Well, I heard a story that someone injected an entire marijuana and they died. So it's nothing to mess with.
Benno, like, I drove by the mall once when there were a bunch of kids outside and I was like 17 and I was riding with Bob. And these kids were over there, like, just being asses, like little kids. Like, they were, like, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And I yelled out the window at them, and they asked if I knew where to get some drugs.
Drugs.
Yeah, they were like, we want to buy drugs. And I was like, what do you want? And they were like, we want to inject marijuana. And I thought, okay, is this a joke? But they're really young, so maybe they really don't know how it works.
That's what they talk about in the rap songs.
Injecting the marijuana. What if, I have a legitimate question for you.
Okay.
How do I phrase this correctly? Do you think you could help people that did truly heinous things? Would you want to help people that did, like, let's not talk about offenders that did drugs that are in there for, about people that raped? What about people that murdered? People that caused human suffering?
I mean,
would you have a desire to help those people too? Or would they just be there?
If they genuinely wanted to change, then yeah. Like, that is the idea. Like, that's,
you think everyone's redeemable?
I don't know about that. But I mean, the people that definitely don't want to change probably aren't. The ones that are just showing up to their meetings doing the bare minimum, like.
Like Jeff.
Maybe. I don't know this person.
Like
but,
Jeff. Yeah.
But like, you know, if someone explicitly like shows remorse and, cause some of the, especially like for, you know, they'll call possession or stuff like that victimless crime. Like that, they don't necessarily have to, but if property damage or robbery, stuff like that. Like a lot of the times, part of the step is trying to make reparations to their victims or the victims' families. And that, yeah, if it's something that they actually would want to do, then yeah, I would want to help them.
Where I'm from, and Tanner knows more about this probably than anybody else, because, you know, we grew up in the same area. Jail and going to jail and stuff like that was like a badge of honor. There were so many people that bragged about it. Jeff bragged about it. I got this tattoo here when I went to jail. I did this when I did this and went to jail. You were cooler. You were badass if you went to jail. And Jeff used to look down on me. And I'm still offended by this, that he would look down on me because I had a regular job and never went to jail and didn't do drugs and didn't drink. And he looked down on me and he told me one day, because he pulls out this stack of money that he got from selling drugs, I'm assuming. And was just counting it in front of me. And I still remember he said, do something with your life, as he was holding this money.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, that money's probably in an evidence locker right now.
And he's in jail. And I'm free to drink Pepsi and eat pizza and play video games.
There
and do a podcast.
There isn't a single thing on this table he would be trusted with right now.
So, yeah, it's ridiculous. Jesse, what do you got? Add to this.
Contribute.
Ooh. She spoke.
Say words.
You speak.
I have said words. I have contributed. But I mean, I never was interested in pursuing a field in criminal justice. Like, Asa studied this stuff. I looked it up on the internet one day when I was bored.
You did the Wikipedia thing. You wanted to know who starred with Charles Grodin in the movie Midnight Run. It was Robert De Niro, but you somehow wound up on the criminal justice system. And then you went into torture porn.
The Wikipedia tangent has never gone that far. Though it's taken me some interesting places. Either way.
Whoa! I want to hear about this story.
No, you don't. No, it's just Wikipedia.
This reminds me of the first time we had...
Is Wikipedia not the deep web?
It's not deep enough, no.
Oh.
No, it goes so much deeper.
You guys, sometimes I think I'm not really a hacker. But I DOS Blizzard.
Do you remember when Penn and Nerd came over to Podzilla and you guys did the first show with us and it was me and you, Steven, Krista, and I think Lindsay maybe. And we were just like having fun and joking around. And I asked, okay, let's ask some questions. How, you know, which one of us have sent naked pictures to another person before? And I don't want to say who raised their hands because, you know, I'm not going to call anybody out on it. Go back and listen to that show if you want to know, but I will say Steven did. And we all went, what? Steven?
Good luck finding it if it was Ben and Nerd.
No, it's Podzilla. It was their introduction episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Nerd Up. It was on like just...
No, it wasn't Nerd Up. It was like a random Sunday thing or something.
Yeah, it may have been Sunday Random Sunday. Yeah.
I missed that show. I liked that show.
It was a fun show. But yeah, no, that was... Why don't we get rid of Sunday Beat Random Sunday for something else?
Well, it's because Nerd Up went to Sunday.
Well, Nerd Up went to Sunday after Sunday Random Sunday left.
That's because I stopped doing it. Because I think the last one I did had CJ and Ethan on it. It was just me, CJ, and Ethan.
Yeah, that's fair. Because yeah, the
think about that.
Because the only reason Nerd Up is on Sunday now is because I've always recorded it on Sunday. After we stopped doing Sunday Random Sunday, I started recording it Sunday night, and I still post it on Monday, just in case you guys wanted to do a reaction show to a pay-per-view.
Which we stopped doing that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which I'm. Mostly because by the end of the pay-per-views, we just don't want to talk at all.
We're usually so angry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like this Sunday.
It's just emotionally.
But you're going to have to tune in tomorrow to Pro Wrestling Unscripted to really hear the venom. Because we got a lot of it.
So yeah, that's the only reason we do that. But yeah, no, Sunday Random Sunday was a fun show, but we got rid of it because it was basically the same show as Thursday.
Except, you know, back then I would actually I had my notes. I was a professional journalist. And I was like, let's do this. And now, like, I show up drunk half the time. Like, I am not sober now.
He might have had two Pepsis.
I had a glass of limeade on the way over.
And drove?
No, she drove.
Okay.
But yeah, no, moving back. Yeah, that was, I think it was a Sunday Random Sunday after we did the official merge. By the way, spoiler in case you don't want to search for it, it was everybody but Shannon. Everybody but Shannon raised their hand.
Lindsay. If Lindsay was here, she didn't raise her hand. I'm positive. Trust me. I know everything she's done. I know her entire history. I have documents.
I don't remember this show at all, so. And I wasn't there.
I think this was before you, like, really associated with the show. I don't even remember if he had done a show with us yet.
No, he hadn't.
Because people started trickling in.
Yeah, I think Ace's first show was either a reaction show or it was a Pen to Nerd. Or Nerd Up, rather.
It was probably wrestling.
Yeah,
I have you on a Pen to Nerd?
I don't know.
At one point?
Well, yeah, yes, you did. Because I replaced Krista
a
couple weeks.
I think that was actually his first show. Because I remember your intro was, look at me. I am the Krista now.
I remember that.
Yes.
That was a great sound bit.
Using a meme.
Hail Harambe.
Crushing it.
Because, he took over the Krista rage.
The weekly rant.
Yeah, the weekly rant.
She was terrible at that.
Well, she was good at it the first couple of times, but then she stopped ranting and more just...
Because she got a boyfriend and she was happy.
She leveled out. She wasn't angry anymore.
To give her more pills.
Luckily,
she didn't...
I have an endless supply of the rage.
Well, she didn't get a boyfriend until Nerd Up, so I don't know what happened.
I'm going to keel over at like 30. Just like, oh, yeah.
No, you'll survive. I'm 34 and I'm still kicking.
His heart was replaced by this weird red ring no one had seen before. Like, his blood is acid. This is weird.
The ring can do some cool stuff, though, guys.
Nerd up.
It was a...
Harambe.
Red Lantern.
Red Lantern Corps.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah,
if you remove a ring from a Red Lantern, they die.
Hey, speaking of comics.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of DC... No, Marvel.
There you go.
Let's get to the main topic. We didn't even say what it was, and I meant to. Also, I want to say, I posted this on my Facebook, but I just want to take a second out to say, I really am sad that Stephen Hill died. I don't know if you guys were familiar with him. He was the first district attorney on Law & Order, like the original Law & Order.
Oh.
He was also my absolute favorite. I pretty much stopped watching the original Law & Order when he passed the torch. So
Criminal Intent had Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes. Yeah. And skinny Vincent D'Onofrio.
Right.
If you look at Vincent D'Onofrio in those first seasons of Criminal Intent and look at him now, dude is massive compared to what he used to look like.
It's true.
Like, it's ridiculous how different he looks. And I'm not in a bad way. Like, you saw him in Daredevil. Like, he was big, but he was, like, scary big.
I mean, he was Kingpin.
He was no Michael Clark Duncan.
No.
Speaking of Michael Clark Duncan, Jesse, that ties into tonight's topic.
What a perfect segue.
Part two of this Mr. 100 and the 5-star panel.
The 5-star panel.
You heard about, we talked about it on Nerd Up, Zendaya.
Sure.
Allie's the only one who knew who it was.
Yes.
What that say about her?
She's
young and
female.
Like smarter than us. The Disney shows?
Do you like the Disney shows?
No.
5 years ago, did you like the Disney shows?
Maybe.
5 years ago, were you female?
I know it wasn't. Yes. I know it wasn't Disney, but I did kind of like iCarly. That older brother was hilarious.
Was that not Disney?
I think that was Disney.
Was
that Nick?
Nickelodeon?
Yeah. Wait.
I'm pretty sure iCarly was Disney.
No. It was Nickelodeon.
We have
Nickelodeon.
I'm the one
because it was Drake and Josh was.
Because I'm the one that watched it.
Nickelodeon. Oh, yeah. Drake, because it was Drake and Josh's little sister.
Oh, was it really?
The actresses. Yeah.
Oh.
Miranda, and then she became Crazy Steve's little sister for Spencer. I love Drake and Josh. I'm so confused. It is, in fact,
Nickelodeon. Okay. No, I love Drake and Josh.
Because I like that
until, Josh got real skinny.
He did.
Drake got even skinnier. And it just lost, like, all of the funny. I don't know how or why.
Shannon's face. I'm just picturing the hello darkness.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Early 2000s Nickelodeon.
Right now, for the listeners out there, Podzilla 1985, the legendary chat, we rename it occasionally and we'll rename each other to something funny. Right now, it's Nickelodeon and
specifically 90s Nickelodeon.
Yeah, and Hunter gave everyone nicknames for there, and I got on one day and I saw everybody else's name. I was like, what's my nickname? And Hunter, and somebody, maybe Cody said, Real Monsters. And I said, you could have said anything, because the only show I watched was Doug.
Did you actually look up Our Real Monsters?
Oh, I know what it is. Yeah, I vaguely remember, but I only
watched
Doug. I
don't even know, because I always just go by whoever's picture instead of the nickname, because they change so often, I cannot keep up with it.
Well, I am Doug.
So I
brought that up, because with Hunter talking about Dalton, mm-hmm. and not knowing who posted what, and I was like, dude, nicknames is hard. And there for a little while, when you and Dalton had the same profile picture,
that was
I was screwed.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I always go by that. I don't even know what my nickname is on it.
You're Rocko's Modern Life.
Yes.
I think for the phone sex.
I was going to say, I don't work at a phone sex line.
I'm Doug, because he renamed me. But he said he should have named me the 10 o'clock news.
You're Asuka.
Because I'm boring. Because
she wears her underpants on the outside. And Coil Man was Doug's superhero alter ego.
I remember
Coil. Superheroes.
Whoa.
Superheroes.
All right, so back on topic. Zendaya.
No tangents tonight.
Disney. Well, we still have 30 minutes, so tangent away.
Oh, no.
Disney stars Zendaya. All signs are pointing that she's going to play Mary Jane in the new Spider-Man movie. What is it called? Homecoming?
Yes.
Spider-Man Homecoming. And there are a certain people on the internet, a sect, a following, if you will, a group of idiots, Trump supporters.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Too far? That are upset about this because Mary Jane is fair of skin and red of hair.
She's a ginger.
She is a ginger. Fiery, and not just like she kind of has red hair, a fiery redhead. That was one of her most iconic things, was that her hair was so red and red.
I mean, they call her red. Like,
all,
everything. They call her
red.
Red
everything.
That's part of her character is that she is a ginger.
And these people don't want no colored playing Mary Jane. No,
I feel like nobody that cares about this movie is saying that phrase.
No, we don't want no coloreds. Well, it's one of those things that, like, they'll make up excuses and they'll say, well, no, that's why I'm not upset. It's this reason. But the heart of it is you don't want a colored person playing Mary Jane. You want, what's her name? Hermione. What's her name?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson. You want someone like Emma Watson, or you want some really pale
of all
skin.
People.
I'm not gonna lie. Whenever, because seeing Emma Stone coming out of Easy A, and she had that long red hair, and like Emma Stone's gonna be in Spider-Man.
Perfect.
Oh
Mary
man,
Jane.
She's gonna be the perfect Mary Jane. She's gonna be Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, I remember seeing. I remember seeing this after Amazing Spider-Man. Whenever she died, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna do another one."
Ellie, spoilers.
Oh my goodness. Whatever. Oh, we're gonna do another one, but it's gonna have Mary Jane. I saw a picture of her with the blonde hair, and it had Zoe from New Girl when she was, and they're like, and then it had another picture as Emma Stone with the red hair as Mary Jane, and it was like, ha, that's an awful idea, but you should do it.
I got lost.
I
don't know who Zoe is on New Girl.
Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, I thought you meant like there was a character named
that's
Zoe.
Also, no. Yeah, that also kind of made me, I was like, wait.
I had to think about it for a second too, I'll be honest. But, fun fact, Emma Stone's a natural blonde.
Yeah.
She dyes her hair red because she prefers it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, Kirsten Dunst played Mary Jane in the original Spider-Man trilogy.
Yes.
She sure did.
She definitely did.
And she did a fine job. I don't care, other than the
She's
character
right.
being completely
yeah, she,
not right.
She did fine. She didn't catch any of the personality.
She did not.
But then again,
and Zendaya.
I blame a lot of that on the writing because, like, I think Tobey Maguire caught a lot of the personality of Peter Parker before he actually had the costume. And after that, he lost every bit of the Peter Parker personality.
I feel like that very original Spider-Man trilogy was just kind of subdued anyway. Like, it was very subtle. He wasn't as over the top as he is in the comics.
I mean, he was in the fight with Bonesaw.
And that's it.
Well, Bonesaw was ready.
Uncle Ben told, like, not only did he instill with him a great sense of responsibility, just, you know, shut up. Dude, like, you don't be mean to the bad guys. Don't say things. Just keep it inside.
I could play devil's advocate and say that it was all fun and games until someone he cared about died because of him, and then all of a sudden he didn't want to make jokes anymore.
Genuinely thought you were going to do the it's all fun and games, and then someone got hurt.
Someone did get hurt bad.
Yeah.
More offensive than that, though, was Martin Sheen in the Amazing Spider-Man when he wouldn't say the goddamn line. The whole time you're saying, just say it. Say the line, Bart. Say the line. And he never did. He found a way to say everything around it, but never that line. And it was very frustrating. I was more upset by, for the record, I'm more upset by that than Zendaya playing Mary Jane. But there are a lot of people who are upset that Zendaya is playing Mary Jane. So much to the fact that the director, came out in defense of her either this week or last week, defending his casting choice of Zendaya. Even though they still haven't explicitly said she's Mary Jane.
You're talking about James Gunn?
I think so, yeah.
He directed Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Some director came out in defense of it.
Yeah, and he actually made a really good point because because you all talked about it on Nerd Up.
Yes.
And we're going to reiterate our point here in a second.
Yeah. You all talked about it on Nerd Up that how it's, you know, it's never a bad thing to add diversity to a cast, but when it's almost lazy just adding it like, oh, hey, so here's this traditionally white character, we're just going to give it to a minority actress. Diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But James Gunn brought up the point, like, if a character's defining trait, like, the thing that makes that character, is their race, maybe not a great character. And Mary Jane is very much not only a
white
fiery
character.
Redhead. Like, yeah, she's not just a white girl. Like, she has passion and is intense and...
True, yeah, she's strong, independent woman, don't need no man.
That's true.
I mean, yeah.
Tiger. Now Allie's giving you the glare.
No.
I saw a glare.
I kind of spaced out for a second.
Stop thinking about Drake and Josh.
Cause that is actually like, I mean, that's still my stance on it. I think that it's lazy writing. They wanted to diversify their cast, which I think they should. I want to preface this with, it is definitely a problem that there are far too many white men in the comic book universe. Mm-hmm. They've done a really, really good job of, you know, they're slowly but surely making headway into fixing that, especially in comics. And they're doing it in the comics correctly by writing new and interesting characters that are people of color. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is when they take a character that is written for a white person and then change it, or like just puts in a person of color.
And vice versa, too. You don't like it when they write a character that is a minority person and then give it, the one that I had to look up.
Tilda Swinton?
Well, Tilda Swinton is one, so white lady is playing the ancient one in the Doctor Strange movie who has always been traditionally an Asian male.
Yes.
That, like, cool.
That's weird.
Tilda Swinton in a Marvel movie, cool. I like when they get these kind of bigger named actors to be in these superhero movies because it ends legitimacy. Like, it's not just, other than the whole, like, they own every box office record at this point.
Why wouldn't they want to be a part of it at this point?
Yeah.
Right.
But they announced that they're doing, so there's a movie based on the Persian poet Rumi? R-U-M-I? I don't know if I'm saying that right. Probably not. This Persian poet and the actor who they tagged who to play this Persian poet is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Interesting choice.
Like, okay.
Now, isn't the argument of acting is that you're
portraying
someone else that you're not.
And I get that, like, but Leo can act all he wants. I'm not going to believe he's Persian.
Are we forgetting the Prince of Persia? Jake Gyllenhaal?
We're trying to.
I tried to forget that movie.
Or how about The Last Samurai?
Tom Cruise. But the point of that was that it was a British guy.
So going back, that I dislike it vice versa. Like, right. It's lazy writing.
Yeah.
But you can't get away with it vice versa. Almost entirely. If you cast a minority in a white role, there's going to be some people that are against it. But if you were to take a black character and put a white person in that role, that would never happen. In fact, I can point out the movie about Nina Simone. I hope it's Nina Simone. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. Zoe Saldana is playing, who is black,
yeah.
Who isn't black enough to play her, and people complained about it.
Yeah, that's
how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, that's just stupid. Yeah, and it's and the part of this that makes me that I because I told Jesse this before the show, before Nerd Up, that like I think it's hilarious that it's there's a solid chunk of the group that's mad about Zendaya playing Mary Jane that was adamantly tweeting at Sony to make Donald Glover the next Spider-Man.
Peter Parker, he was going,
yeah, specifically. Right. Yeah, like, specifically Donald Glover would be a great Peter Parker. And he would.
He would.
He would be a great Peter Parker. But, like, I guess they're just that whooshing sound is, they don't hear it going over their head.
Oh, I'm gonna make, I hope Hunter gets this reference. I just think of Al Bundy standing next to the microphone going, whoosh.
He'll get it. But either way, like, I think that Zendaya could be a fine Mary Jane Watson. Like, I don't think the character is going to be bad. I don't think she's going to do a bad job.
Yeah. Because, who is she up against? Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten Dunst.
Who didn't do a bad job.
Like didn't do a great job either.
But they just,
well, she did a good job with what she was given.
She might have, and like you said, like she might have looked more like the traditional Mary Jane in the comics, but her personality was
not
Mary Jane.
Without the personality spark.
If Zendaya brings that spark and that life to Mary Jane, yeah, do it. I'm into it.
There was a casting rumor a while back that got a lot of heat, and I guess I want to ask you this specifically because you're a big James Bond fan.
Yes,
and I'm a big James Bond fan. You know
exactly
what
you're going to say.
Idris Elba,
yeah,
was up for, or at least it was heavily hinted that he could take over the role of James Bond.
They want like there was like a, it was an online petition or something.
Yeah,
that because I don't know if the studios ever actually like seriously considered it, but there was the rumor or the fanfare surrounding like make Idris Elba the next James Bond. Before Daniel Craig got cast. Or maybe it was in the middle of...
It was in the middle of it, yeah. And I'm looking
Daniel
up...
Craig, like, said the last two movies...
was going to be his last one.
Yeah.
Because he hated making those movies so much.
Yeah.
But then they're like, hey, come back, we'll give you money. Okay. Except Spectre. Right. Spectre was the last one.
Yeah, Spectre is officially his last one ever, which I still haven't seen. Need to, so...
I'm trying to find... There was a quote somebody said about Idris Elba playing it. And it's one of the guys that is involved with this. It's someone, a descendant of the writer, but they're...
The Broccoli family are terrible people, by the way.
And they very much spoke out against it because they said that he would be too thug or he would be too street.
What? Do they know who Idris Elba is?
No, they just saw a picture of him.
Yeah. Idris Elba is a national treasure, and I wish he was our national treasure.
I was about to say, he is a... Yeah.
He's a British treasure.
He's a British treasure.
I was waiting for someone because I made that joke about Rusev. I was like, Rusev is a national treasure. He's not American. I didn't say our nation.
He's someone's national treasure somewhere.
And it's the same, like, one of the things, because Donald Glover in his stand-up special, Weirdo, talks about the big, everyone wanted him as Spider-Man. And the only person he replied to, because a lot of people were real angry about that, like, real angry about that potential casting, who said, oh, we're going to make a black guy Spider-Man? We're going to let a black guy be Peter Parker? What's next? Have Michael Cera be Shaft?
I love that.
And I responded
so
with, yes.
That entire bit of Donald Glover's is great because he talks about, like, yeah, no, I would go broke in the movie theater. I would see it every showing, every day until that was out of theaters.
And they act like this is the first time that they've done this in even comic book films.
Yeah.
Go all the way back to, the original Batman movies. Harvey Dent was played by.
Oh, why can I not? Don't say it. Don't say it. Landau Calrissian.
Billy Dee Williams.
Every time I think of that character, I have to go to Scrubs.
Yes.
Lando, call me Billy Dee. Okay, oh. Lando. Yes, Lando. Yes.
Donald Faison just reacting to Lando is brilliant.
They had so little faith in him as... The only reason he signed on for the deal was because he was told that he would play Two-Face in the next movie,
yeah.
And instead, when they finally brought Two-Face in, they recast him as Tommy Lee Jones. And
which
had,
is for the best because
was it?
I don't think.
Do you remember Tommy Lee Jones in that movie?
I didn't.
I just
Tommy
remember
Lee
that
Jones
movie.
Did bad. Like I did again.
No, he
the
played
movie
a great.
Like,
he played a great Joker.
Wait a minute.
because they turned Two-Face into a bumbling, laughing, maniacal, crazy person. He was the
because
Joker.
Everything
again.
About that movie was awful. Let's move past it.
Right. So yeah. you couldn't have had Billy Dee Williams.
He deserved better.
They also were going to cast Marlon Wayans as Robin.
Oh, I remember that.
I do remember that.
How would that have gone over?
Even
with
as a kid,
fans?
I remember thinking, like, why is everybody so angry when they talk about this?
Because my dad was real angry about it. We've talked about my dad before.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, he was pretty upset about it. But I think my dad was cool with Billy Dee being Harvey Dent because of Lando.
He was a great Harvey Dent. He was smooth. That movie just had its characters kind of weird because I don't think Tim Burton was a huge Batman fan.
He absolutely wasn't.
He had actually admitted that even prior to directing them, he never read or checked into any of the Batman media. Like, he had somebody explain it to him and he went with it.
But I still think it was a good film. A lot of people would say the original Batman was a great movie. It is.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little odd, it's his take on Batman.
Yeah.
But no one really complained about Billy Dee Williams at the time. Or at least I was too young, so I don't remember.
Yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan played Kingpin in Daredevil. That was the best part of that movie.
That was great. Yeah.
Best casting ever.
Yeah. And I think Ben Affleck was fine as Matt Murdock.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
We both agree that he was a fantastic movie.
You and I are the only ones.
Apparently so. Even better Batman.
The director's cut of that movie was
much
watchable.
Better.
Yeah, it was much better.
Go ahead, Jesse.
No, I was going to say. Now I don't even remember what I was going to say.
Well, Michael Clark, because again, like Michael Clark Duncan, Kingpin's not black. Kingpin's white, but then he kills it because he was a great Kingpin. Vincent D'Onofrio, also a great Kingpin, but almost like two separate characters.
Two very different characters.
Because of just their...
So here's my stance on it. The cast, and I'm just going to take over for a second. The casting of a minority as a white character is not a problem. It's not a problem. That's fine. We need more diversity. The problem is that the real problem in Hollywood is that they don't give jobs to minorities in general.
Right.
The only black movies you see are black movies. Tyler Perry, or the occasional offensive comedy starring Snoop Dogg and some other rapper, probably Kevin Hart.
You didn't like Soul Plane?
Oh, no. Let's move past it.
Anyway.
Or funny blaxploitation films.
Like Black Dynamite. Which was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
But the real problem is that even when you see Zendaya is going to play Mary Jane, and they'll go, well, this is progress. Look what we're doing now. But then you still have to wonder, what about television? What about the people that write the movies? What about the directors? What about everybody behind the scenes? You're putting a band-aid on a wound. You're saying, we're doing something about this, but really all you're doing is just throwing a distraction out to go, look, we're doing something. You can have a black character. You can have specifically a black, like Iron Man, the new one, Riri Williams, I believe is her name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guarantee you the people that are writing that comic are white. I don't know for sure,
but they are.
Yeah.
I can take a guess. Mm-hmm. So why can't you have a black writer write for a black comic? Why, you know, the cycle will just constantly go on.
The problem is there aren't that many black writers, like comic book writers.
Are there, or they just don't get work?
Well.
Yeah. Well, and also, the worst part about it is if you have I know for sure there is a sect of the population very upset about the Black Panther movie, Marvel's Black Panther movie. You know, that casting, they've been killing it.
Chadwick Boseman is so good as Black Panther.
Yes.
I believe the director, I can't remember his name either.
Yeah,
I mean, through the power of the internet.
Right, we can figure it out real quick. Finish your point, I'll look it up.
The point is, it's like, okay, if a black person has this creative control and they start writing a book about a black character or do a movie about a black character, you're going to have that sect that are like, well, yeah, of course he's going to write a black character. And that's stupid. That's so dumb.
That is stupid.
Because and they're gonna cite Tyler Perry.
Ryan Coogler. That is the,
show that used to be on Coogler Town.
Isn't that the fake name that, in Community when Mitch Hurwitz, the Coogler?
The Coogler. That sounds like a car.
You got me.
I don't know. But so like, but I'm gonna drive a Coogler. Black Panther's like, oh, of course they get a black director to direct Black Panther. Yeah. Why wouldn't they? And it's people. It's not educated people.
No.
It's the hateful people are going to find a reason to hate. So.
I did not know that Michael B. Jordan was cast in Black Panther.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had not realized that.
They saved him from that awful Fantastic Four movie that I haven't seen yet, so I really can't judge. Maybe it's Dynamite.
I also haven't seen it, and I don't want to because I've just heard how absolutely atrocious it is.
I'm so dedicated to the original too.
But better movie that Michael B. Jordan has been in originally. Oh my.
You thought you were going to get away with it, didn't you?
Better movie that Michael B. Jordan was in recently, Creed.
Yes.
Holy crap, that was good.
Pretty Apollo good match Creed. Against The Miz.
Miz at the SummerSlam.
At SummerSlam. Yeah.
I get that bit.
I get that reference.
Jesse doesn't like it. But no, so it's like, you're right. There is not enough directors and... I have a friend in Chicago who I met because of a different wrestling podcast that I used to listen to a while back, who does theater. I think he's a theater director in Chicago, and he's constantly showing cast updates and some of his shows, and it tends to be people of color. And I've always actually wanted to see one of his shows because I, not only have I heard good reviews coming from them, but like he is, always has been a smart guy and it's just so I think that's cool. I like when there's that opportunity given.
Yeah.
And well, and you don't see it nearly enough.
Look at Hamilton.
Yeah.
Broadway smashed, breaking all kinds of records. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are very few white people in that cast.
Yeah.
You know? If you don't think that minorities have a problem in Hollywood, because there are people that go, shut up, money, movie, the industry, they want to make more money. They'll pick who they want to pick because it sells better or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say that Kevin Hart's never going to outsell Brad Pitt. You could say that. I don't know if it's true, but you could say that. But if you don't think there's a problem for minorities in Hollywood, just look at what happened to Leslie Jones after Ghostbusters came out.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Man.
This woman, who we all agreed was our least favorite part we were looking forward to in the film. We admitted it. And it's not because she's black. It's just we didn't like, I don't think she's that funny.
I don't like the character that she plays. Because she plays a character in everything she does.
And I don't think she's that funny. You know, but humor is subjective.
But there's a difference between, I'm not looking forward to this person's performance because of what I've already seen from her. And there's a difference between that and you should go kill yourself, you ridiculous, ugly,
monkey, insert, ape, whatever you want to say. And they did. They tore her apart for absolutely no reason. I'm sure most of those people didn't even see the movie.
Almost certain.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But the
not.
Internet, they find a target. They can hide behind their computers and everyone's safe.
Because had they seen the movie, Leslie Jones, I think, did a fine job.
She did a fine job. She wasn't that bad at all.
It's almost like the terrible trailer misrepresented the way she was going to be portrayed in the movie.
Very much
crazy.
So.
Crazy.
Huh.
And unfortunately, she's not the first person that it's happened to. I remember when, what did they actually call the movie? It was the novel Sapphire, and it had...
Precious.
Precious. And the lead actress from that movie... Oh my gosh.
Gabourey Sidibe.
I always mispronounce her name, so I wasn't even going to try.
Yeah.
But she got torn apart. By people, quote unquote.
No. Yeah, they don't really get that title.
Yeah.
So I see that Hollywood is afraid to cast or hire minorities, not just black, Asian, Hispanic.
Oh, yeah.
Every minority. Because it's a boys' club, and they're afraid that if they open the doors to other people, that money's going to go down, revenue's going to go down, that it's going to ruin Hollywood.
Which is
Hollywood's,
stupid.
Yeah, that, Hollywood's that, already ruined.
Do you remember a couple years ago that Sony leak of all the emails that got sent out?
Oh, yeah.
About just like, oh, so it turns out like Jennifer Lawrence was making a quarter of what her male co-stars were making.
Yeah.
We can't hire this person because they're black. Like, it's going to hurt the box office. Like that story you told about Hitch.
Yeah, with Will Smith and Eva Mendes not wanting to cast a minority.
It's disgusting and it's terrible. And I had a point leading into it.
Well, I will say this is the part where I point out that I hate the term white privilege. You know me. I hate the term. But, you know, I'm especially when it comes to this, I'm not naive enough to think that that doesn't exist. It's terrible the way that they treat and portray minorities in Hollywood. It's insulting.
Yeah. And it's gross. And going back, like getting all the way back to like the Mary Jane thing, there was a little video I saw on Facebook that kind of showed a little bit of a range that of stuff she had done on the Disney Channel show, some other stuff, and it's like she can do intense, she can do this, that she can do that. They also showed a picture of her. It almost kind of looked like a darker version of Sasha Banks's hair. So it's like, oh, are you worried about her being a redhead? Well, she's done that before and it actually looks good.
I will admit, when I saw Jessica Alba in The Fantastic Four and she had that terrible blonde wig or whatever, didn't look good. So if they have to portray Mary Jane as not having the red hair, but they write her character interestingly,
that's what's important. Jesse, like, and we've talked about this at length, Ed, but I don't think we've ever done it on a show.
On the air,
Because you mentioned in the comics how they're constantly Miss Marvel is now a Pakistani girl, Kamala Khan.
Yes.
Captain America is Sam Wilson, the Falcon. Thor, Jane Foster. Spoiler alert, I guess.
It's been that way for a long time. It's almost back to Odin's son now.
Yeah, so
she spoiled Spider-Man 2. So.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, or it's fine.
Mediocre Spider-Man 2.
The one that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But so I personally don't really like that. I very much like the idea that Kamala Khan and Sam Wilson and Riri Williams as Ironheart.
Ironheart.
If you didn't
Ironheart.
See that, that's going to be
their
name.
I was going to talk about that on Sunday.
I'm actually really excited about that because
that's a cool
it's
name.
A new character portraying a new hero. And I understand that comic books, and not just like Hollywood, but comic books, it's very much a boys club. It's very much a straight white boys club. And again, I'm aware that all four of us are
straight white boys,
straight white people. hi, Allie.
Hi.
But also, Allie's a boy.
Yeah. Also, she's a Pidgey.
But so it's, so I understand like the concern that no one is going to buy a comic book about a Pakistani teenage girl
who becomes a hero. That's
who becomes
not
a superhero,
an established hero.
So we need to give her the Miss Marvel moniker. I do understand that. I hate that because as much as I want them to be, I don't think they're wrong.
Same thing with
Simon Boz, and that's
That's actually just new IPs in general.
Yeah.
But it's really hard.
But inaccurate. Let me throw out a couple names here real quick. Harley Quinn was not an established character in the Batman universe, in this huge Batman universe with all these characters. Harley Quinn was introduced on the TV show.
The animated series. Yeah.
If they had introduced her as a foreigner or as a minority character, but wrote her as interestingly as they did, she would have taken off still. Of X-23. Not a character that was originally, and I don't like X-23 personally, but clearly she's got on enough where she's the new Wolverine. She's also a white girl. If they would have portrayed her as an African-American girl, but still wrote her in such a way, I think she would have caught on. So I don't think it's impossible. If you write the character well, if you make an impact, you can still sell these things.
And like I said, I agree. Like, the jaded humanity sucks side of me wants to say, yeah, but
it's a prevalent side. Yeah.
Because, but also you have to keep in mind, Harley Quinn was not given her own cartoon. She was just put in the best Batman thing that had ever happened.
And took off
right
from there.
X-23 was not given a solo book. She was paired up as a foil for Wolverine, who was Marvel's god. So,
right.
I understand what you're saying. Like, there's a difference between just like, you would have to have Kamala Khan and like Simon Boz, who's a great Green Lantern, but he's a Green Lantern. You have that name recognition.
Yeah.
I think it would be more interesting to have these characters be their own. I very much love the fact that Riri's going to be Ironheart.
Instead of Iron Man.
Or Iron Woman.
Because I thought Iron Woman just sounded weird anyway. That was their logic too. Like, it doesn't sound right. Let's call her something different.
Yeah. But so, like, Kamala Khan is Miss Marvel. I get, you know, the Miss Marvel moniker isn't actually being used anymore because now she's Captain Marvel.
Right.
Has been forever at this point.
Long time.
Yeah.
Since a little bit after Civil
so
War.
So I like the fact that they are these new characters. I just think it's cheap to try to, the reason we want these characters to use a wrestling term, get over with the audience, is we're going to give them the mantle of an already established.
Well, see, the problem
hero.
Is, like, creating a new IP is hard.
Oh, yeah. And I do understand that. Like,
especially when everyone's concerned about money.
Right.
Yeah.
And I understand that it's a smart thing to do. Maybe it's just a personal taste, but it feels like it cheapens the character.
And also, considering how many of these things happen very close to each other, like of all these different recasting and the all new, all whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, you still have white men writing these characters, these diverse.
Actually,
characters.
A lot of women are, like, a lot of comics are being written by women currently.
Name one.
No, I'm
kidding. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a dick. Like, I'm not going to do that to you. I had a point now and I forgot it. But one of the comments here in our comment section that I want to read off kind of said the same thing of, it almost seems like they're being diverse just to go, look, we're diverse. Like, if it was up to them, it would still be Steve Rogers. It would still be Tony Stark if they could make that money.
I think that's what we kind of all agree, that's what this casting is. They wanted to add some diversity to their cast.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they've already got Donald Glover, Hannibal Buress, are attached to it, so.
I like Hannibal Buress, too.
He's the one that exposed Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hard to. Yeah, once we get over the thought of being diverse just to show we're being diverse, and mm-hmm. we actually are diverse, that's the goal.
Because you risk the tokenism.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and also featuring.
I mean, there's a reason black that person. Most yeah. horror movies had that one black guy that everyone points out there's a black guy because it was. They were like, we need one black guy to put in this movie.
And then he dies first.
And it's terrible. Like, that's not how it should be. But we're running out of time. We got some comments I want to read off, mostly because the owner and CEO made a comment.
The power that bees?
The power that bees. Not the power of the bees, Kevin. Oh, not the bee drills. But first off is Nate Smith. Nate Smith has a comment.
Oh, no.
This was actually shocking. I read it earlier. Like, I'm surprised on his stance.
He said, actually, Zendaya is one of the most promising Disney stars I recall back when I used to watch a few of the Disney shows, or when he used to watch them.
So, like, last week?
Mary Jane is the kind of character I feel doesn't need an established color, depending on the story. It's a recreation of Spider-Man, and thus it's a fresh chance for Mary Jane to get a new face.
Do you have a different Nate Smith on your friends list?
I was wondering the same thing, but no, it has the picture of the cartoon girl and everything.
Well,
it's a shocking comment from Nate, but I maybe the first time I've ever said this on the show, but Nate, he's right.
Yeah, he is.
He's right. So thank you, Nate. That is a good comment.
Because, yeah, that was echoing something we said earlier in the show. Like, it's a good point.
Kevin Redbeard Schenkelberg, the CEO, the power that be, the power of bees. He says, racism aside, I think looking at this from a perspective of the people that run the movie industry, be that black or white, most of them are in it for the money, which we just said. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So which movies bring in the most money? Does the movie fit for a black or white character? Both sides have movies that will only fit a certain demographic. Also, movies have categories. Black comedy is one, i.e. Tyler Perry. Are there other races that have that as a specific category? Fixing a problem that has been laid out far before the people who are in charge now is not an easy task. I always hope that the old white people are going to die out, and then all of their nonsense dies out with them.
Baby boomers are dropping by the minute.
But as long as we have people like Donald Trump and people in the rallies chanting for him as he talks, it won't happen. Yeah. There will always be that segment of the world. The good news is that for all intents and purposes, America is moving forward.
And it is getting better.
It is getting better.
Like, it's getting
slowly,
better. You know, the intention of the tokenism, like, I don't even know if that's really, it's a step forward because at least they're giving the shot. Like, the reasoning behind it might be terrible, but at least it's happening. And then, like, if she comes up and steals the movie, then
great.
That can absolutely open doors.
Kevin is absolutely right that there are specific categories for specific races. And that's a terrible thing to say.
No, yeah.
But there are black comedies. Car Wash, Soul Plane, Friday. Mm-hmm. There are.
Barbershop.
Yeah.
Oh, Barbershop is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix series, Master of None. I've only seen a few of the
first the season,
episodes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When he plays an actor trying to get roles, and he gets like a phone call or an email that says we can only hire one Indian guy because we don't want this to be an Indian movie.
Yeah, it's like that It's Always Sunny joke where they're like, you know,
the ratio's off.
Yeah, you have too many black guys. Now it looks like a black bar. They're right. Like, that's an offensive joke, but that's also really satirical of how life is.
And it's, so for anyone who, I know everyone here loves the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. For anyone listening who, I don't understand how you could listen to this if you haven't seen the show for how much we reference it.
Tanner?
The episode that Shane's talking about is they kind of do later on in the run, they start kind of wondering, well, why isn't our bar winning any awards? Is it our location? No, that new bar just opened up and they won all sorts of awards. And it's very much echoing the, why aren't we getting the recognition from the television community?
Yeah.
And it's just so good. And so they go to this other bar and then they're like, oh, well, we need some black people in here. Like, cause our, you know, it's just a lot of white people here.
Mm-hmm.
And then so they invite some friends, but a lot of them, E comes in, but E brings all his friends. Oh, there's too many black people. You have to keep a ratio.
Yeah. You don't feel like a black bar.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, people are going to think we're a black bar. We're not a black bar. Talking about.
Yeah. No,
black shows. And that's one of my favorite parts. And I haven't seen Master of None all the way through. I've seen like the first two episodes. I really like Aziz Ansari, but, Kumail Nanjiani, who I love.
He's the guy I'm pretty sure we saw in the John Oliver thing yesterday, and I said, I don't know who that is.
I know his face, but not his name. He does The Meltdown on Comedy Central. He's a stand-up comedian that's great. He's on, Silicon Valley, and he's great in it. He also does a podcast called The Indoor Kids with his wife, Emily Gordon. And one of the things that he talks about constantly is how he refused, and he was also on Harmontown during the early run. And he talks about how, like, he intentionally will not take jobs that require him to play up his accent. Cause he does have an accent. He's Pakistani, and he just will, like, he has lost work because, okay, but can you do it a little bit? And they always, the casting directors and people always try to, like, can you do it more?
Aziz actually puts that in one of the episodes when he's auditioning and his friend is also Indian. He's auditioning for the same part and they're like, can you use more of an accent? And Aziz is like, no. And his buddy's like, just do it, man. You'll get a job. He's like, but that's not what I want.
From what I understand of Aziz, he's actually really terrible at the Indian accent. Because, like, he grew up in the U.S.
What's the Parks and Rec joke? I come from the faraway land of
Ohio.
Yeah.
What's bad, though, is those movies. Like, I know it's a joke, but a lot of movies, especially back in the old days, would cast white actors and just Blackface.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you can't act black enough, blackface. The Charlie Chan movies. Horribly racist.
My favorite take on the blackface comes from 30 Rock, where they do the live episode, and they go through all the great moments in live television. And it features NBC's progressive stance on race. And I don't remember the name of the show, but it's Tracy Morgan, who plays this old-timey character. Wilbur, my brother, where are you? Coming home from work. And then John Hamm in blackface and an afro wig holding a dead chicken comes in and just, hey there, Alfie, I done scooped me up some biscuit. Like, just the most, sir, as a fellow man, I'm asking you to stop this. This is insulting. And John Hamm's just going, it is beautiful. And then it ends with Tracy Morgan just snapping and hitting him with a chair. And there's like this really tense moment where it's like later on in the scene, and they're just sitting at a kitchen table. Just,
show me a picture.
Which in the episode is black and white. Awkwardly, like, John Hamm is terrified because he's gotten the crap kicked out of him, and Tracy Morgan's just staring at him with one wish. And then John Hamm, out of nowhere, just goes, banjo! And he just jumps
in. That's the black and white version.
Oh my God.
Which somehow looks worse.
I don't know why, but.
And it's great when people like Tina Fey, because she had, Donald Glover was a writer on 30 Rock. People who actively try to bring in diversity, like to their staff and their actors, and it's.
I don't like the face Jesse's making right now.
Oh, I found the gift.
No,
yeah, just kind of shuffling around there,
shucking it, and we're laughing at it. That's the worst part.
Because that's how it's played up
to be funny.
Because it's played up to kind of, but it's not entirely inaccurate of what happened back then.
Gets upset.
This is beautiful.
And Kumail just always, like, every time he talks about it is just so, like, and that's one of the things that he loved about Silicon Valley, is because Mike Judge did not have any expectations of him. Like, he actually went out for the main character, and they wrote this part for Kumail. So he went out for a character that not intended for a white person, but ended up going to a white person. Thomas Middleditch, I think. Or no, he went out for T.J. Miller's part. I can't remember that character's name. But, it's getting better.
But we're still not there.
Yeah. I think, like you guys said on Sunday, like, personally, yeah, I would rather see Zendaya play a just brand new Spider-Man character.
A new love interest.
Yeah. Just a whole new character as opposed to just like, we can cash in on the Mary Jane name.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my stance too. Like, and Stephanie like tried to challenge me because she actually asked, because I was going to make the point. Like, I would actually prefer to see a new love interest that's a colored, you know, person of color. I almost got real offensive there.
hold on. Let me just point out something quick. There was an anchor on Good Morning America who had to apologize today because she was talking about kind of this subject, and she was on the side of racial diversity, but she said of like roles for colored people, and internet went aflame. She had to apologize. And she said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be so offensive. I meant people of color, not colored people. And I thought, what's the goddamn difference?
I'm trying, cause I...
There's a stigma attached to...
A history of the way that specific word has been
colored
used.
Colored people, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the reason that it's bad. And like, I just almost slipped
there
it. My grandma did.
There was a stand-up comedian talking about it, and I can't remember who it is, but it was great because he's like, which is more offensive to you? You know who cares? Everyone says, oh, well, who cares about language? You know who cares about language? The people who want to hurt you the most. They are very educated in the words that they're supposed to call you and what words you're not supposed to be called. And that's why it was Bill Burr, I think, talking about it. And he's just like, yeah, if you have someone with a Confederate flag bumper sticker and wearing coveralls, like just the stereotypical redneck garb, who says, oh, I really like that colored fella. Which is that more offensive than the guy, cause he was talking about the transgender issue, than the, you know, guy in a suit dressed respectably, he hires, you know,
like a more educated.
The more educated, college educated guy, and he's like, oh, well,
that was a Patton Oswalt bit.
It was Patton Oswalt. His stand-up special. Yes. His last stand-up special. Yeah, he, like, this is the guy that knows the words that hurt. So yeah. I think that, yeah, I mean,
so when he calls you colored person, this guy, it's more offensive than a guy who doesn't know better.
Yeah.
And like the bit was actually pretty great because he goes up there and he starts using all of the terms they use. Like, you know, I'm a heteronormative cis white male, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then talks about like, basically in a very fancy way says, I don't think that you deserve equal rights to me. Just, you know, like using all the correct words.
As a heteronormative cis white male, I personally don't believe this transgendered, interracial couple should be allowed to be married.
Yeah.
That's not fair to me.
And then basically he uses that as an example of like, which is worse, that or the guy that says like, I love the homosexuals.
I don't care if those queers get married.
That.
Like, which one would you rather hear? The one who is just colorblind to the bigger, like, he doesn't mean to insult, versus the person who knows exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So anyway, going back to my original point on that,
well, hurry up.
Yeah, Stephanie mentioned, because I was about to make the point that I would have been A-okay with that, you know, the new love interest. And Stephanie mentioned, like, would you be okay with them writing a new character that's a minority that would be Peter's love interest? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I would be A-okay with that. Like, so far, Marvel's writing has been top-notch. Their casting has been top-notch. And I know that Sony has, like, more input on this than Marvel would probably like, but everything Marvel's touched has turned to gold so far.
Well,
like, or at least
except
silver.
Except those first two Hulk movies.
Oh. Everything since Iron Man.
True. Well, except for Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 wasn't bad. It wasn't good.
It was the Iron Man 2. And I know,
yes,
I know I'm in the minority, but I really didn't like the first Thor movie. The second Thor movie I thought was better. But
I did too, and then
not.
I found out that it was like rated on Rotten Tomatoes worse. But I thought, yeah, Thor 2 was a lot better than Thor 1.
I didn't like the first Captain America.
I loved the first Captain America. See, I went in with such low expectations because I never cared about Captain America that I ended up leaving impressed. But it's still on the lower end of the list.
It's definitely now Captain America 2.
Oh, yeah.
And then Captain America 3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm getting squishy. Hey, we gotta end this. We got one more statement though. We're at like an hour 10. So, One more statement. We'll maybe revisit this in the future. Let's see what happens when they officially announce Zendaya as Mary Jane, if that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, so far they haven't. The only official announcement we've gotten from that film is Michael Keaton's character.
Oh, the guy that's playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, because
Michael Keaton playing Spider-Man?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You heard it here first.
He's playing Spider-Man from the future.
Oh,
see, that's why
Spider-Man
I'm skeptical.
2099?
That's why I'm skeptical. Zendaya is going to be Vulture.
Well, they've already said Michael Keaton's Vulture. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Wait, did they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Michael Keaton is Vulture?
Yes.
And Tom Holland is Spider-Man?
Yes. And Tony Stark?
Couldn't they have gotten an old person to play Vulture? Ageism.
And Tony Stark will be played by Robert Downey Jr.
Is he going to be in the movie?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh.
Damn, that's Rihanna. They got that. I'm not gonna do it. One last statement from Aaron Picard. You gotta get Aaron Picard in there.
Sure.
Progress is well written. 3D characters that are not stereotypes. Yeah. Diversity for the sake of diversity and change for the sake of change usually forsakes quality. He's right. Changing something just because you want to go look what we changed is not the same as actually changing.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much my point in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Oh, and then JR also had a little bit of input, and yes, it was basically just, that other point we made. Let her try it. If she's bad, then that was it. If she's good, then awesome. She's a great Mary Jane. Don't judge her by her skin color. Judge her by her performance.
Yeah.
And then if she's bad, kill her off and bring in Gwen Stacy. We'll just do it reverse.
Actually, that was another point I made on Nerd Up. Like, I am really surprised that, that was the point I made in response to a new love interest. Like, well, the people that would be upset about, a new love interest for Peter Parker would also be upset that Mary Jane is the love interest and not Gwen Stacy.
Like in the first movie, when it went skipped right to Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy didn't come until the third one.
I figured it out. The studio would rather deal with having, like, the racial upsetness. Then have to deal with the nerds complaining that it's not Gwen Stacy.
Because you know who else yells louder than comic book nerds? Racists. Yeah.
And then they can just brush those complaints aside and be like, no, see, racism, stupid. Mary Jane's gonna be great. Hey, wait a minute, it's supposed to be Gwen Stacy. Shh.
Tony Stark's in the film. Okay. There's a post credit. Venom might be in the credits. okay. All right. Hey, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're running out of time. We're over time. Jesse, thank you for appearing again on the Tuesday show.
Hey, no problem, man.
It's a lot of fun to have you here. And of course, the five-star man at the end of the table, Asa Gray.
Yes.
And producer Allie.
Yay.
Who doesn't actually produce anything other than smiles. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We're going to talk about that SummerSlam that happened over the weekend
and
along
takeover.
With TakeOver.
I want to talk about TakeOver.
I want to talk about the brutality of Brock Lesnar and why it was the dumbest thing that WWE has done in a long time.
Hated it.
Horribly. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. It's going to be hot. We'll see you guys then.
It's going to be
have
lit.
A, what's going to what?
Lit.
Lit.
Kids say
lit. Litten. We're going to be litten. That's a Pokemon.
Almost an entire
That's
show.
That's a new Pokemon.
Oh, God. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night. I didn't hit stop. Good night.